Well, good morning.
It's good to see those that are here this morning. We will go ahead and get started with our call to worship. So if you'll please stand, we will sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead seem, hail incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail, the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail, the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. While he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
And you may be seated.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
What a glorious week this has been.
Amen.
Guess who's on the throne?
Jesus Christ, Lord.
That's right. And don't you forget it.
Amen.
Yeah. We've had a tremendous week ministry-wise. We've had some answered prayers. We've had people calling and needing, and we've been able to help. And God has just been really good to Hillcrest Baptist Church, and I praise him for that. We've also had some to go in the hospital, and Don Mann, for one, and he had his jaw rebuilt and his tongue partially rebuilt through skin graft. And he's got a feeding tube. He's at home, by the way. And they think all the cancer, and he'll be going through chemo and radiation for a while. But, you know, he's at home. And praise the Lord. It's just terrible to have to stay at the hospital. And he was so looking forward to coming home. So God answered that prayer. 34 balls right now. Each one represents $1,000. And that goes 100% to support foreign missionaries. It does not go for office expense or stuff that they would do here in the United States. It goes strictly for their support. And that's the reason we push it so hard. We'll still have 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm sure it'll be more than 34,000 by the time we get done with it. But I want to thank you guys for being generous. God blesses the generous givers, and whoever has given, you will receive blessings for it. We have some, I was just informed that one's in the hospital right now, maybe heart problems, and she's not very old. How old is Tish? 40? You got a 40-year-old? Sorry. Yeah, I know it. I got one too. She's in the hospital. Thought it was COVID, but turned out to be heart. So we'll pray for Tish. Also have one that's going in for a test, pretty serious test Tuesday. He was in the first service, so we need to pray for each other. So let's go to the Lord and pray. Almighty Father, what a privilege it is to be here today to worship you. I do pray, Lord, that the message of God would go out this morning. Father, the simple message of the birth of Jesus. We'll talk about the death of Jesus and talk about Jesus arising from the dead. I pray, Lord, that you would make it so simple that all of us could understand it. God, that you would pierce our hearts to those that do not have Jesus in their heart. I pray, Lord, that as all the churches are meeting, that they would be sharing the Christmas story with their congregation. I lift up our families, Lord, as we go through Christmas. I pray, Lord, that you would supply the needs that are needed. Lord, that you would supply peace and joy within our families, unity within our families. And most of all, Father, you would draw us closer to you. You are the main focus of Christmas. Without you, Father, we would not have Christmas. So we just praise you for who you are. You're our Savior, our God, our Lord. I pray, Lord, for the songs that we will sing, the prayers that we will pray, the reading of the word. I just pray, Lord, that it bring honor and glory to your name. Also pray, Lord, for those that are sick. We ask that you would touch them, Father, encourage them and love them, that they would feel your presence. We pray, Lord, for healing. We pray for our doctors and nurses, all our first responders. We pray, Father, that through all this mess, we would just draw closer to you, depend on you, trust in you. God, you're our only hope. There is no other hope. So we focus our hearts, we look to you for answers, for help. Father, I do pray for Tish, that you would touch her and draw her to healing and bring her home. I pray, Father, for Don Mann, that as he recovers, that you would be with he and Sandy. Lord, with the feeding tube, I pray, Lord, that he would keep up his nourishment. I pray, Father, for those that are having tests this week, those that have had tests last week and are waiting for results. I pray, Lord, that those results would be favorable. Today, Lord, we just tell you we love you. What a God you are. We just come to worship, and I pray, Lord, that we feel the very presence of Jesus right here. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Two announcements I forgot about. Wednesday we will have prayer meeting, and then the following Wednesday we will not have prayer meeting. So Wednesday we'll have prayer meeting, and then a week from Wednesday not prayer meeting. Also, there's offering envelopes out there in the hall in the foyer. If you desire, your box is out there, and if you desire a box and we don't have your name on it, just write it down on that piece of paper out there, and we'll make sure that you get the offering for the year.
And you may remain seated as we continue on with Joy to the World, the Lord is coming.
Fields at fire. joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, for as the curse is found, for as the curse is found, for as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
And if you would please stand as we continue on with the first Noel.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born, oh, night, oh, holy night, oh, night divine. Led by the light of faith serenely beaming, with glowing hearts by his cradle we stand. So led by light of a star sweetly gleaming, here came the wise men from Orient's land. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger in all our trials, born to be our friend. He knows our need, to our weakness is no stranger. Behold your King, before him lowly bent. Behold your King, yearn for him lowly bent. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim. His power and glory evermore proclaim. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night's day. Christ was born. Oh, night, oh, holy night, oh, night divine.
That song was written just for Wayne. He does so good, doesn't he? Yeah, fits him perfect. I always think when he's singing that, he works at the airport, and when you go to the airport, you'll see him sometimes. He used to fuel up the jets. So if you ever caught him fueling up a jet and he came and hugged you, you'd hug him like that. And such a pretty voice comes out of that. Out of Wayne. I just get, he's so good. Yeah. Well, we're going to look at the nativity scene, the death, the burial, and resurrection, and tie it all together. So I want you to pray for me because there's a lot going on there, and over here I'm going to try to tie it all into the Advent candle. It's not your normal Advent emphases, but we're going to use the candles to represent this right here. The title of this message today is Candles of Christmas. And I started out this morning, and I'm going to start out again today, right now, in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. And these were verses that God gave me this morning in my quiet time. The Bible says in Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father." So God, throughout the Bible, has allowed us to know that Jesus came to save us from our sins, and only Jesus. So today I want to start out kind of like I did last week. Some reason or another, God has put on my heart the time we spend decorating and the emphasis that we have on Christmas, and is it right or not. So I want to remind you of some things that we do during Christmas. And all of us do these things, and the list could be longer for some, and probably not shorter, but longer. During the Christmas time, we decorate our trees, we decorate our homes, and look around, we decorate our church. We sing songs, Christmas carols. We attend Christmas parties. This year has been kind of tough on that. We go shopping for gifts, and then we shop online for gifts. We bake goodies and we prepare Christmas dinners. Do some of you call it Christmas supper? That's what we have. We have Christmas supper. I don't know why I wrote down dinner, but Christmas suppers, Christmas dinner. We have family gatherings. And did I mention we go shopping? We do all these things for Christmas, and we do a lot of things in a short amount of time. Seems like time runs out, doesn't it? So I want us to return to right there, the nativity of Jesus. And I want us to take all that stuff that we do preparing for Christmas and zero down on the real reason for Christmas. So today's message is going to be the nativity, the death, and the burial. So the first place I want to start, I call it the candle of the nativity. It just took a lot of thought for that one. But we're going to light that and we're going to think about the nativity. So I want you to just kind of focus in right here on the nativity scene. And let me read some verses that I want to share with you having to do with the nativity. First of all, I want you to realize that Jesus was born a baby, but he was in existence before he was born. Sometimes we forget about that. We celebrate so much about baby Jesus that we forget that this is God. He's always been. So listen to John chapter 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." By the way, Jesus is the Word. "He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men." And then verse 14 tells us, "And the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So as we focus in on that first candle, I want to remind you also of what we looked at last week in Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, when they had heard the king, this is the wise men, when they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east and went before them, till it came and stood over where the child was, right there, the nativity scene. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy, the Bible says. And then verse 11, "And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother." And then the Bible says, "They fell down and worshiped Jesus. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." So as we think about the first candle, we look at the baby Jesus. And we ooh and google and goggle and all that over a baby. But realize Jesus was not just born 2,000 years ago. He was born in flesh 2,000 years ago, but that was God. Remember last week, his name, Emmanuel, God with us, and his name, Jesus, is Lord of salvation. He has come to save us from our sins. So as we're looking at the baby, as we're looking at the nativity scene, the star of this nativity scene, the focus of the nativity scene is Jesus Christ. It's not all the lights we put up. It's not all the eats that we eat, all the shopping. It is Jesus Christ alone. We have Mary and Joseph, and we have the wise men. We have the shepherds. We have the animals that we can focus in, but it all focuses down to Jesus Christ. And he is the Word, the Bible says. And the Word was with God, and he was God. So before the creation of this world, he was. I believe he was the great I Am. I believe he was no other. Everything about him was love, creation, and poured into us through this little baby. So he is right there, the nativity, the God of our salvation, that little baby. He came to deliver us from our sins. So as we look at that nativity scene, we see God with us. That's his name, Emmanuel. He is the Word. He was with God, and he is God. So as we zero in on the nativity scene, the focus is on Jesus Christ. I'm being really simple because it needs to be simple. We don't need to make this real difficult. There are a lot of people in this world, number one, that have never heard what I'm telling you today. But then there's also people within the church that have heard it all their life, but really never heard it. You know what I mean? Did that come out? Do you understand what I just said? We come, we hear, but it's like he goes all the way through and it doesn't stop in there. So I want us to make sure that we know what the nativity scene is all about. It's about Jesus Christ, Lord God. He was before this world ever was. He knew who we were before creation. He knew we were going to be here today. He knows everything about us. That is God. And he came to save us. And I could put period. That was what he did 2,000 years ago. But then Matthew tells us that the wise men came right there to the nativity and they saw Jesus. You know, they had to bypass Mary and Joseph and the animals in there, and they went straight to Jesus. And the Bible says that they rejoiced with great joy. And they fell down and worshiped God. They knew that was God. They knew that God was going to deliver them from their sins. This was the Word. This was God. And as they looked at him, they presented gifts to God. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So what do we do when we see the little baby? When we come to the nativity scene and the focus is on Jesus Christ, what do we do about the gifts to Jesus? I don't know about you, but I don't have too much gold. I have no frankincense. I have no myrrh. What do I have to give Jesus? I have me. I have time. I have a little bit of money. I give the best I can. I give through commitment. I give through being surrendered to God. And that's the kind of gifts that we can lay before Jesus as we rejoice with great joy in our hearts. So what does the nativity scene mean to us? Do we agree that it's a time to worship Jesus? And I hope that we do. But here's the deal. Here's the question as your pastor I have to ask. Do we? Do we truly worship Jesus at Christmas time? And I can ask you that because of me. For 37 years, I did not worship Jesus Christ at Christmas time. And you know, I've told you this before, I got saved when I was in fourth grade. And my daddy was a deacon in the Baptist church. And about the time I got saved and baptized, he quit going to church. Well, guess what this fourth grader did? He quit going to church. We never heard about the Lord at our house. I never heard Daddy pray and never heard him celebrate Christmas. He never read the Christmas story to me. I've told you this several times. I'm going to continue to tell you because my testimony is for the first 37 years of my life, I did not worship Jesus Christ at Christmas time. What do you think I did worship? What was under the tree, whether it's for me or for my kids? That was my sole purpose, to make sure my kids had Christmas. Before then, to make sure I had Christmas. So I'm being honest with you. I did not worship for 37 years the Lord Jesus Christ. So today I'm telling you, that's our main focus, is to worship Jesus at Christmas time. There may be somebody sitting in here with the same testimony that I have. You're just embarrassed to tell it, or you don't want to tell it, or whatever. And you're hearing my words. Please let your focus be on the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else. Now, I'm not telling you to do away with the Christmas gifts and do away with your decorating and all that, but the main thing is to worship God first and then do all that other stuff. So let's keep on going and look at the second candle, and I'm going to call it the candle of the cross. Isn't that intellectual right there? We're going to look at the crosses. There's three of them, but what's the main focus of the crosses? Jesus Christ. So I will light the candle of the cross. And as I light these, I want you to think about what we're lighting them for. This is the nativity scene. This is the cross. Again, the focus of the nativity is Jesus Christ. The focus of the cross is Jesus. He is the main focus of our life. As he came to the nativity scene, he came to save us from our sins, but there was only one way he could save us from our sins, and that was to spill his blood on the cross, to die for our sins. He knew this. He knew that he had to sacrifice his life. But where I want you to go with me is Isaiah chapter 53. And the reason I want to share with you from Isaiah 53, because in the nativity scene, he's a baby. And however long he and God and the Holy Spirit are old, I have no idea. Nobody knows. They don't have an age. They were just here. And then they created everything. So however long that was before the birth, plus the 2,000 years after the birth, he was God. He is God. He'll always be God. And as God, don't you know that he knew exactly what was written in Isaiah 53? Now, if you agree with me that he knew, so I'm going to read this verse by verse. There's 12 verses in Isaiah 53. And God came in the flesh as a baby, knowing what he was going to experience. So let's look at Isaiah 53 together. And here it goes. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For Jesus shall grow up before God as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. And Jesus has no form or comeliness. And when we see Jesus, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Jesus is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. And I just have to take a break and I'll let you absorb what has been said so far. It's pretty bad what is happening to Jesus. And he knew this, yet he still came as a baby. And then 33 years later, he died on that cross for us, knowing all this. Verse 4, surely Jesus has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, our pains, and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So take a pause there for a second. You can't hardly read all these verses without just stopping and thinking through them. For my sins, for my transgressions, Jesus came on this earth and then later on died on that cross for my sins, and for your sins and transgressions. He was stricken by God. He was not held in esteem. We didn't give him any forethought. We didn't really care about him. And then verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all of us. God has laid our sin on Jesus' shoulders as he's hanging on that cross. He's the very focus of that cross. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet Jesus did not open his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before its shearers silent. So Jesus opened not his mouth. He was taken away from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. And they made Jesus' grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he'd done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. In verse 10, the Bible says, yet it pleased the Lord God to crush Jesus. And God has put him to grief. And when you make Jesus a soul an offering for sin, you shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. I wrote in my Bible after verse 11, forever. He'll bear our sin forever. Verse 12, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, and because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. At the end of verse 12, I put my name, Jerry. He bore Jerry's sin. He made intercession for my transgressions. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is the God of creation. That little baby in the nativity scene, all focused on him, then the cross, all focused on God as our sacrificial lamb. Up here on his shoulders, he had our sin. Remember who he is. That's God, Emmanuel, with us, perfect, no sinning. And God the Father put our sins right on his shoulders at the cross. The Bible says Jesus bore our sins on the cross. He was bruised and whipped for our sins. He was smitten by God. He was struck down. He was afflicted by God. He suffered much grief for our sins. The Bible tells us that he became our sins. He took our place on the cross. And in John chapter 19, verse 30, the Bible says, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." What was finished? Salvation. He paid the price of all our sins to make sure that you and I have a way to go to heaven. Yeehaw. I mean, today that's a yeehaw statement there. Our salvation is available to those that will take the nativity scene and the death and put them together. And we're going to get to the tomb in just a second. But all this ties together, Jesus making salvation available to us. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time. He paid the price, paid our price. The Bible says he redeemed us. He died in our place. And Romans 10 and 13 says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whoever calls on the baby that died on the cross, if you accept him as your Savior, you shall be saved. Simple. Oh man, is that ever simple. He made it so simple that we could understand it. 37 years, I did not really understand that. But I understand it now, and oh, I'm so glad. I'm so thankful to God. Well, let's keep on going and look at the third candle. I call it the victory candle. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's the victory candle. So if you would, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 50 through 58, 9 verses. The heading over my verses in verse 50 is "Our Final Victory." So the baby, the cross, now we get to the tomb. And what did Mary say when she got to the tomb? What did she say about Jesus? He arose. Was that not victory over death? So that's what we're going to talk about. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 50. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." That means we shall not all die. We're going to be changed one day. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible and shall be changed." Will be changed into perfection. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This sinfulness must put on perfection. And this mortal must be put on immortality. All of us are going to live forever. Some are going to live in heaven. Some are going to live in hell. Birth, death, or risen. Jesus is the focus of all three. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, when this sinfulness has put on Jesus' perfection, and this mortal has put on immortality, so through Jesus I'm going to live forever and ever and ever, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The sting of death is the wages of sin is hell. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory over our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Victory over death through Jesus Christ. Focuses on Jesus, focuses on Jesus, and focuses on Jesus as he arose from the dead. He is over death. He has victory over death. The Bible says, "Oh death, where is your sting? Hell, where is your victory?" And our victory is in what? First of all, it's in accepting this little baby as God with us that came to save our sins. It's accepting Jesus dying on that cross, taking our place. We're the ones that all be hanging on that cross. But yet, he did it for us, that tremendous love. And then he was buried. They sealed that so nobody could steal his body. But when they looked in the tomb, it was empty. Victory over death. When you get saved, you have victory over death. The candle of victory. And then the fourth candle is the candle of life. Again, the focus is on Jesus Christ. I want to share two verses with you having to do with the candle of life, the baby, the death, and the resurrection. First of all, Romans 6:23. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's 3:23. And then the wages of that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. The candle of life. So I talked about buying gifts, and now I'm talking about the gift of life. Can you buy the gift of life? Can you earn the gift of life? What would you do if I got up and preached, Don, you've got to do so-and-so before you can go to heaven. You've got to do it or you're not going to heaven. You ought to leave. You ought to take me down first, then you leave. There are some that teach that. But it's a gift. It's a gift from God. He volunteered somehow or another to come down here as a baby. He volunteered to get on that cross. He volunteered to be buried, sealed up, arose, so that you and I could have life. The wages of sin is death, is hell. Oh, hell, where is your victory? Well, it's to those who haven't believed in Jesus. And then the second verse, John 14:6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the candle of life, the focus of Jesus, the focus is Jesus, the focus is Jesus, and the focus is Jesus. And then the final candle. This is the candle of celebration. Remember when the wise men got to the cross, got to the nativity scene, and the Bible says they fell down on their knees and worshiped God. As they worshiped God, the joy that they experienced was like nothing else they'd ever experienced. They had so much joy in their heart that they opened up their presents and treasures to Jesus, and they praised the Lord God, God with us. It was all about worship. So the fifth candle, the focus is Jesus. Jesus, 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 and Jesus. That's what Christmas is about, is worshiping Jesus. So how do we worship Jesus? The wise men told us to bow down before him, didn't they? Wayne sang, bow down before the Lord Jesus Christ. I would encourage you ever so often, you get down before the Lord. You see a nativity scene, I'm not saying stop your car and get out in the middle of the road and bow down your knees. Don't hear me wrong there, but get along somewhere. But you can imagine a nativity scene. Bow down before the Lord Jesus and worship him for Christmas. He doesn't really ask a whole lot from us. As we worship him, we bring our gifts of me, my time, my efforts. And I bring my sins to him and put them before his feet, and he forgives me. So how do we receive eternal life? Well, let me share with you two verses and we'll quit. The two verses, Romans 5:8. While we are sinful, God demonstrated his love towards us, that he sent his son to die for us. Even though we were sinful, God loved us enough. Jesus loved us enough to suffer through that cross for us. And then one verse ties all this whole thought process together. The nativity, the cross, the tomb, all the candles and the celebration candle. The candle of Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, And whoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not die, but have everlasting life. Today was a pretty simple message, wasn't it? But it's pretty important. Again, I just confessed my sins to you. For 37 years, I didn't understand all this. And I don't want you going home without understanding it. Simple, simple, simple. But there may be somebody that doesn't know Jesus as Lord, as Savior. God gave His Son for you. Jesus was born for you. Jesus died for you. Jesus was buried for you. Jesus arose from you for you. He took your sins on His shoulders as He died. So we're going to stand, and Lane, come on down, and we're going to have a song of invitation. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask that you come forward and say, Brother Jerry, I need Jesus. And it's not just for children. I don't want anybody going home today without having Christ in their heart. Harold and I were talking before church. You never know what's going to take place a second from now. You better be ready. You need to be ready. God could come back right now, or you could get in your vehicle and have a wreck and you're gone. Some of these people that get COVID, I heard that one person got sick 4 hours and they were dead. Death comes quick. Jesus comes quick. Are you ready for Jesus? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody can come to the Father except through Jesus, the blood. So I'll be up front if you need to make a decision for Jesus. I sure would love to pray with you.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me to thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy Spirit till all shall see Christ on the always living in me.
Abby has invited her Jesus into her heart. We have been praying for this little girl and praying and praying and praying, and we've seen her grow and grow and grow and grow into the Lord, and we just rejoice. So, yeah. So if you'll, not if, but why don't you amen and praise the Lord as accepting her into our church.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
We will baptize her. We may next week. We'll talk about that and see what. But God is good. We're so proud of you. Took a lot of courage for her to come forward. So we're so proud of her. Let's pray. Father Almighty, thank you for Pam and Abby and Cheyenne, how they, as a family, Lord, they talk about the Lord. And Pam has shared Jesus with Abby, and her church has shared Jesus with her. And she's listened, and Father, she just decided she needed Jesus in her life. We praise you, Father, for another new creation in the Lord. I now pray, Father, for us as a church that we would continue to disciple her and grow her and mature in the Lord. Pray for each one now, Father, as we leave. I pray your blessings on them for this day, Lord. Just give them a great day in the Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can come up here and social distance the best you can and just congratulate her.